Good morning. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to just help Don with the title. We'll say it's part 3 because there's going to be many parts. So this is part 3. Third time I'm speaking on it. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to start from verse 1, read until verse 7. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Amen. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, give thanks for today, for this passage, Lord, on love. And Lord, would you speak to us? Would you even use this verse to minister to us, Lord? Give us guidance and direction, Lord. Let it just speak into our lives of how we can respond, right? Respond. Especially when things are difficult, Lord, that this would minister to us. Lord, give us a bigger perspective on our circumstances so that we can love. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So again, starting at verse 4, it lists what love is and isn't. And in this, starting at verse 4, it starts with 2 what love is, followed by 8 what love is not, and then ends with what 4 love is. So there's 8 versus 6 in terms of what love is not versus what it is. And just wanted to clarify, in case there was any misunderstanding, something I said, I was thinking about it, was like I said something to the extent of like, oh, you know, as you mature as a Christian, as you grow in maturity, something that happens is like these, especially the is not, right? Or you could say even the sins in your life become more apparent, right? You would think as you grow and mature, there'd be less and less sin in your life, which is kind of true too. But I just wanted to clarify what I meant is as you grow maturity, these things, especially these 8 is nots, like, you know, jealousy, bragging, arrogance, for example, all of them really, it's not that you have more of them, but you're able to identify them easier as you grow. And so these things, you know, if we're to be humble and really self-aware, they're there. And as you grow in maturity, you're able to identify it more quickly. And thus, you're able to deal with it more readily. Right? So, and you see that, again, with the Apostle Paul, right? He's as he grows in life experience, ministry, right? You see that awareness in his life become more and more apparent. And so I think that's a great way to kind of, even for us, a very humble way to kind of, if we're to gauge spiritual maturity, right? Instead of just looking and be so focused on the gifts, is how well are we able to identify our weaknesses, okay? And so we've gone through, this is our third time, part three, and we're going to start at not act disgracefully. So when does not jealous, does not brag, does not arrogant. Ah, so now we're at the third is not. Okay, so first one at verse 5 is love does not act disgracefully. In other translations, it says does not behave rudely. So what are we talking about? We're talking about manners. I know, it's kind of weird, right? That's what love is. It's not rude. It's manners. And yes, because if you think about it from not a just like, oh, this is culture, this is the cultural norms. When you are not being rude, have good manners, what you're doing is you're being very considerate of the other person. It's not actually self-centered. Hopefully when you have good manners, it's not just, oh, you know, I just want to fit in or just conform and make people happy. It's actually being very considerate, right? When I was young, I was kind of a little rebellious, very free-spirited, and it's not that didn't have manners, but I was all about being authentic, the real you, and just being true to yourselves, right? And so as a result, you could say I wanted to be authentic. That was very important. And it was, I guess I really operated in the golden rule, right? Treat others how you want to be treated. So one example is I'm not that into looks or like fashion. And so I just want to be comfortable. So if it was up to me, I would just wear basketball shorts and like a t-shirt. I mean, I'm kind of there. I'm wearing a t-shirt. But that's like all I ever wear. And if it was up to me, right, we would all, as the golden rule, I would have all of you wear basketball shorts and t-shirts so that we'd be all comfortable, right? And I didn't judge people based on what they wore because it wasn't important to me. And that was how I wanted to live. However, right, not everyone is like me. So I could just be like, oh, whatever, you do you, I do me. I'll keep on wearing my basketball shorts and t-shirts. Even like when I first came to Hong Kong, I remember my family got upset at me and my extended family, because like we had a buffet lunch at the Marriott 5-star hotel, and I showed up in my flip-flops, basketball shorts, and like a tank top. And then one aunt was like, hey man, like, and I was so offended at that time, right? But as I've grown and mature, I recognize not everyone is the same as me, right? We have to, and this is what it means to have manners and not be rude. Why do we do it? Is you're being thoughtful, you're being considerate of the other person. And thus, you know, now I don't wear basketball shorts, wear flip-flops. That's what I would do. If everyone was cool with it right now, I would be doing that. But out of considerateness, thus, I'm wearing, this sounds so weird, but I'm wearing pants, right? But that's what it is, right? And that's why it's important, you know, when we say like honor your elders, you respect them, right? They come from different time, but you have to be considerate of other people, okay? And that this one does not act disgracefully / does not behave rudely kind of connects to the next is not, which is does not seek its own benefit, or other translation, does not seek its own. In Romans 12:10, it says, in honor, giving preference to one another. Philippians 2:4, it says, let each of you look out for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So what we're talking about here is, again, it's self-centered versus being other people-centered. That's what love is. It's not just thinking for yourself. And this is absolutely critical if we're to do relationship, right? And because inevitably, when we do relationship, as you go deeper, right? We talked about going deeper in these spiritual disciplines, going deeper with God. Also, as you go deeper in relationship with people, you're going to have conflict. You're going to have times when you don't get along. And if you're only thinking about your own self-interest in these conflicts, it's going to be very difficult, right? You go into an argument or disagreement, and you're just thinking about how the other person can understand you and how you want them to give you what you need. It's not going to work, right? Or it's just going to... And so it sounds so simple, but incredibly difficult. But you need to go into the circumstances and relationships really trying to be considerate of the other person, right? Of thinking of the other person, thinking of instead of your benefit, but instead thinking of theirs. That doesn't mean that whatever you feel like goes out the window, right? But it's trying to be honest with yourself of exactly where you're at, being able to communicate it, but you're putting the other person's, like understanding the other person even higher in value, right? I think sometimes we're like, oh, we need to just sacrifice and surrender, so whatever I'm thinking, it's not important. No, not true, right? Even with God, it's important to be real with him, with whatever you're feeling, and then you share. And so you can see the process with God is the same, right? And you see it in the Psalms all the time. You start off with like your angst, you're honest, you're like, Lord, why? I don't understand. I don't know. I don't understand why I got passed up for the promotion. I've been here, I've been doing things, being a righteous worker. I've done things your ways. I haven't done any of the politics. And yet, I didn't get promoted. Someone else did. So that's, you're real with God. But at the end of the day, you're actually more considerate with what God wants because you trust him, right? And you lay that down, whatever you had, and you align yourself with his will. That's kind of the process we take with God. Obviously, there's a lot more processing that happens, right? But this one, especially where we seek our own, is very, very apparent. Have you heard of this this funny term? Like, snitches get stitches? No? I think I know it because of the NBA. It's always like... So snitches get stitches means when you, I don't even know what the normal term is. Help me. What does it mean? It means it like a tattletale. Yeah, there we go. Okay, if you don't know what a tattletale is, it's when you tell on someone and your reason that you're telling on someone, because actually I didn't even really process what it meant because my kids are... keep using the word, and they're like, oh, I'm not tattletaling, I'm reporting. And then I was like, that's true. Like, if something happens, I do want to know the truth, but I don't want you to tattletale. And what tattletaling is when you're telling on someone for the sake of getting them in trouble, right? And so when they say snitches A snitch is someone, it's the context is like an informant, right? Someone's informing the police to get somebody in trouble. And I guess you get stitches because you get beat up because it's not cool, right? So anyway, but I was going to say, so my kid's always doing this all the time. I'm trying to, it's really hard to explain like what the difference is, when is it appropriate, and at the end of the day, it's a hard thing. I said, are you telling on your brother because you want to get him in trouble? Or are you telling on him, or are you sharing this to help your brother, right? So little distinguisher, but we do this too. Oftentimes, people are thinking of their own self-interest, right? And in the case of an informant, snitches get stitches. They want to make sure that they're okay before taking care of other people. So this is not love, right? We need to We need to be considerate and think of others. And the next one, last one for today, is love is not provoked. Love is not provoked. We know it is, I guess, not wise, maybe even, and I would say even a sin to try to provoke other people. In Ephesians, it says, fathers, very clear, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I'm always convicted by this because I definitely, at times, provoking. Maybe a better, more current word, not provoking, is you're pressing someone's buttons, right? So I do this with my kids if I feel like they're not understanding the lesson, I will start escalating like consequences. Like, oh, like I'm like, you know, Jonah, you know, go brush your teeth right now. And if they don't, I'm like, I'm going to take away this. And it's like, I'm going to keep, and I keep escalating and escalating to kind of get that reaction from them oftentimes. But what's interesting is it's in this context of talking about being provoked, it's not you being the provoker, it's you being provoked. And I was like, what? Even that, like how, like when we're provoked, it's like someone is coming at you, right? I think of parents, your parents maybe, it could be your spouse, right? Usually not friends, right? We're very cordial, but and they come at you and they're like, why you da-da-da-da-da? And it says, love is not to be provoked. So even to be, I mean, yes, it's, so it's kind of like even to be offended, right? Like, oh, we get offended easily. But someone, it feels so unjust, right? It feels like if someone comes at you, it's our right to feel provoked and offended, right? But even in this, it's like the feeling, I mean, yes, we have the response, but what we do with it, how we respond when we feel provoked, if we do that, it's not loving, right? Because just thinking, yeah, like if my wife comes at me, why da-da-da-da-da-da? I mean, what naturally comes out of my heart is not love, right? Not like, oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing that with me. I'm so glad you brought this to my attention. No, it's like what comes out is like I want to provoke her back, which is, well, how about you? You didn't da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? And so this one is tough. So just to recap the three things. Love does not act disgracefully, which doesn't behave rudely. We should be considerate, have manners. Love does not seek its own benefit, does not seek its own. We're not putting ourselves first. But instead of being self-centered, you could say we're other-centered. And love is not provoked. It is not provoked. I mean, I guess this would be the opposite of what we should be, the first love, which is love is patient, right? When people come at you, instead of taking it personally, instead of being provoked, right, you would be patient. You take the time to listen, to hear, and then, okay? So, are you, yeah, so a Sybil. Yeah, I mean, this passage is so well known on what sharing what the love is and is not, but it's so powerful, right? It's such guidance and instruction. And especially, I mean, even for myself, as you're dealing with difficulties, maybe you've had some difficult conversations that have been very contentious, right? And it just left a feeling of ickiness in you. Hopefully, as you go through these things, I mean, even just the three today, does not seek its own benefit. Like, we all making it so much about ourselves, or love is not to be provoked. So as we're feeling so offended and we're just, we need to respond in, not in this spirit, but we would need to respond in the spirit of love. Patience, kindness, rejoices with the truth, it keeps every confidence, it believes all things, hope all things, be hopeful, endures all things. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Really look into your life, the feelings of maybe discontent you have at circumstances, at people, maybe even towards God. Go before Him. Be honest with Him. And choose to respond in love.
Never fails, never gives up, it never runs out. flows out of me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love.
Yes, Lord, it's just as the song speaks of your love that is so amazing, so unconditional, so enduring, so hopeful, never gives up, Lord. Because of you, and as you modeled it, as you did it, and as we get to experience it, Lord, it's only because of that we are also able to act out this same kind of love, Lord. And our hope is, as we do this, that we could build your kingdom. We could build your kingdom by really being an image, reflecting and showing an image of who you are to other people, Lord. And so, Lord, I just ask, as we are inspired by you, Lord, we would also be in constant receiving of the love, Lord. It's not just a principle or a thought, but it's really an experience, Lord, an encounter, Lord, where as we experience your love, we would let that love overflow in our lives. And so just come, Lord, minister to us in that love so that we can also demonstrate it to others. In Jesus' name. Let's turn to our screens. Let's pray for our community. Let's cover and pray for those who have cancer. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for God's healing and encouragement and strength. You know, right now, highlight Hazel and Ingrid. They are our current members, mothers at SP. There will be a fasting chain coming up. But yeah, let's pray for everyone on this list. Let's pray for those who are sick, have illness, but also in need of word of salvation. Let's pray for God to speak either directly or use those people around them to speak his words of love and truth into their life. Also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities. Let's pray for their full healing, restoration, for strength. Kenny Chang and his family. They're in LA right now. So let's pray for his healing and protection. Let's also pray for all the frontline medical workers on the list, that they would continue to feel safe and protected and have their confidence in the Lord during this time. Pray for their protection. Let's also pray for our members who are looking for work. Let's pray for Sterling and Ian. Pray for God to lead them and to bring opportunities to them. Pray for our community. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government, Wealth Gap, Revival Churches, Sports Services Limited, Shanti, YWAM, Ga Catering, SND, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, families in distress. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Pray for the staff, PSAM, sabbatical, in LA. Right now, you can pray for his family for rest, or LA soon. You can pray for, and then pray for the rest, P-Nate, Salamat, P-Salamat, P-Kem, P-Samuel, P-Ernie, Tim, Lisa, Mon, Rachel, Nan, Cadence, Caleb, Donald, Trish, Grace, Rachel, Chow, Wesley, and Ben. Yeah, just pray for our relationship with each other, relationship with God, for God to really bring unity to our group, to work well together for His kingdom and purposes. Pray for the hospitality ministries, welcoming, led by P. Samuel, Barista, Caleb, and Logistics, Tim. Let's pray for the team, their heart to serve, the leaders to really bring the vision and direction into these ministries. Pray for the worship and sound, which is led team that's led by P. Nate, and also the AV team that's led by P. Ken, and if you could add Rachel as well. Lift up all our moms who are pregnant. Let's pray for Fiona, Leslie, Tyon, Hina, and Vincy, and others. Let's pray for their strength, and let's also pray for that they are able to get good sleep and rest, and for the protection and safety of the baby. Thank you. Finally, let's pray for the house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for First Street, Fontana, Happier Valley, Hopewell, K-House, OPR, Princeton, that they would have really good time talking about prayer, encountering God, and just feeling passionate to really start praying. Father God, thank you for, again, today's message and this message on love. Help us to be able to demonstrate this love, not just with our actions, but even what's going on in our heart, Lord. And so if there's any bitterness or unforgiveness or offense or hurt in our heart, help us, Lord, to let go of those things and really put love at the forefront, Lord, where we could want to bless, to be, want the best for others, to not just through our actions, but even in our heart, even in our thoughts, that we could pray. So Lord, just be with us today as we go about, and as we encounter people around us, Lord, we would be loving, Lord. We'd be loving in the way we interact with them. Yes, Lord. We thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, everyone. Have a great day.